Hello and welcome to Boat Briefing, the podcast from Boat International Media. I'm Holly Majerison, the head of digital content here at Boat, and as we head into one of the busiest periods in the yachting calendar, we thought it was the perfect time to take stock of the biggest stories that have shaped the industry over the summer. From record-breaking Monaco yacht show lineups and headline-grabbing yacht deliveries to one of the season's most talked about yachts and some major industry news, there's been plenty to discuss. Joining me today is Boat's travel and charter editor, Georgia Boscawen, also known as Queenie, to look back at the summer so far, share what we've both been up to over the past few months, and look ahead to what's shaping up to be another exciting Monaco yacht show.
Hello, and we're back.
We're back. Back with a bang, I think.
I hope so. We haven't done this together in quite a while.
It's been quite a while. We've actually just sat down to record, and G's just had to give me a bit of a hyping, you know,
a download.
Hyping us up.
Yeah.
Yeah. She just reminded us, because we started to sort of talk about just ordinary life as we do in the office sometimes.
Yeah.
And she said, no, Hull, we're very important business women.
We
Come
are.
On.
No one wants to hear about office gossip on the podcast.
Nobody wants our office gossip.
They actually really don't.
They definitely don't. So what they actually want and what we're going to be covering this week are some of the big news stories from this summer, because it's been a while since we've done one of these newsier segments. And I think we've got to give the people what they want.
We do. And we're gonna.
But before we do that, we've got to give the people what they also want. The updates on you, G. Where have you been? What have you been up to?
God, it really has been a long time since I did this. It's been a lot of travel, a lot of Greek travel. I feel like everyone's going to Greece at the moment, and hot on the heels of the Greek yacht show, which kicked off the season. I feel like no one ever left. I feel like everyone's been to Greece. I've been to Greece. I got engaged in Greece.
Yeah, this is the big news, everyone. When I said it was the big news episode, this is the big...
It's the big news.
And it's so exciting.
It's so exciting. In Tinos, which is very beautiful. If you haven't been, definitely go to Tinos.
We've all just been riding this high with you as well. It's literally... We're still talking about it now. How long's it been? About a month?
Welcome. 2 months.
2 months. Yeah, we're still talking about it. So come on, you've got to tell us about the engagement.
It was beautiful. It was just after the Greek yacht show. That's how I bookmark my life now, as with boat shows. Just after Medis, and we went to Mykonos, and then we went for a couple of days, and then we went to Tinos. Honestly, it's so beautiful. And it was really lovely. And we climbed up, because Tinos is just covered in these incredible rocks. They're called lunar rocks. And they, you know, it's this like otherworldly landscape, and it's really quiet, and it was around kind of vineyards, and you see sheep wandering around and some goats running around. And then we walked up this mountain with a bottle of wine, and that's where it happened.
It's just so romantic. And I've seen the pictures as well. And I just think the whole setting, the whole engagement, Louis, it's just the picture perfect engagement.
It's really
and it's
exciting.
So perfect for you. So we're all just absolutely thrilled.
Thank you.
Also can't stop looking at your ring. So
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very exciting.
Well, you've also been, you went to Greece too.
Oh, come on. Mine's slightly less thrilling than yours.
Well, you didn't get engaged, but you did know.
But you never know. No, I didn't.
Cyclades Cup though.
Cyclades Cup. Very good. My first ever regatta that I'd been to.
Amazing.
So it was quite an experience for me, because I was doing a live rolling blog and also getting all the pictures, working with the photographers, and then writing the print article, the wrap-up feature afterwards. So talk about being thrown in at the deep end. I mean, it's kind of wild, because I've actually been at Boat for 3 years now. Which has gone really quickly. But the fact that that was my first sailing regatta was quite wild. And I just think it's a whole different part of the industry.
Yeah.
I guess it's the sporty side. So I felt like a sports journalist, just, you know, there on the sidelines, just like, and now this yacht's coming in. And
that's really exciting.
Yeah.
I love that for you.
Yeah. Maybe that's where my career's headed. It's definitely not. Poor Shirley Robertson got all my silly, annoying questions.
Oh, well, I'm sure it's good.
Yeah,
sure
I was asking her to explain it. Give it to me in layman's terms.
No, you're a very important businesswoman in yachts.
Thank you, Georgia. I needed that last little bit of hyping up. But yeah, it's a great event, and I think a good regatta to go to is your first one, because it's just, it's
as much about the socializing and the kind of whole vibe, the beautiful island of Antiparos,
as it really is beautiful,
the actual sailing itself. So yeah, would recommend.
Absolutely. So some news.
Onto some news, onto the bigger, more important things. Last week was a big week for the news world because the official Monaco Yacht Show attendees list went out. It's always highly anticipated. And obviously, it's a great insight for the industry to know. We've all kind of got our tips that are coming in about which yachts are going to be there. But to have that official initial list, because we know that it can keep shifting and changing right up to the lead up. I remember last year, Breakthrough was going to be there very last minute, and then it wasn't, and it was then just on the horizon. So this list is always changing, but it is exciting now we've got the first confirmed yachts there. So what we thought we would do this week is go through these a little bit.
Absolutely.
So I think the first one is a good one for you to kick us off with, because it's a very exciting charter yacht.
It is a very exciting charter yacht. Nixie, as I'm sure many of you would have heard that name. It's RWD, and you can see it's RWD, this beautiful 102.4 meter Lursen, which has been delivered and absolutely beautiful and very wellness led and centered around one of the largest beach clubs we've ever seen on a Lursen. There is a dedicated spa deck and a 6 meter glass swimming pool suspended above the swim platform, which is just incredible. She will be making a global debut at Monaco this year, and fresh on the charter market too, which is also really exciting. Diesel electric propulsion and advanced energy storage system for quieter and more efficient cruising. She is incredibly beautiful, really beautiful. She's got an amazing, that foredeck is incredible. If you haven't seen pictures, do have a look, because it's one of those really classic, well-proportioned yachts with just really nice balance profiles. So that's really exciting. And I think it'll be really good to see her in the flesh.
Absolutely. And it's one that you'll be keeping an eye on, because I think this actually makes her the world's third most expensive super yacht.
She's going to be big.
What's she going for? She's with Edmiston. And I think at the minute, she is asking 2.4 mil per week. So
it's good. It's a good,
pretty
it's
hefty.
A good rate.
So she's just after Kismet and then Renaissance. And then we've got, Nixie. So that will be highly anticipated, I'm sure, in Monaco. So very exciting. Next up, in terms of the largest yachts, we've got Angelique, which is a turquoise yacht. And it's actually their flagship. So it makes the largest yacht ever built in Turkey by volume. And it pairs H2 Yacht Design's elegant Art Deco-inspired interiors with these really standout wellness amenities, which include a full spa, a panoramic gym, and one of the largest beach clubs in her class. She is definitely designed with entertaining in mind, and she features two jacuzzis, a glass-sided pool, DJ facilities, of course, and the all-important golf simulator, and a helipad that doubles as a basketball court. So she's a big boy. 87.7
she's
meters.
She's a big girl, probably.
But remember when I said I'd been in the industry for 3 years? Yeah. Still doesn't know the difference between calling a yacht a she or a he.
It's a whole different subject.
It's a whole different subject. We'll save that for next week. So go on, rattle off the...
So then we have Pangaea, the 79.8 meter Amels that was delivered in 2025, incredibly good looking boat, and the first unit in the new Amels 80 series. And I mean, it's still the Espen Arena exteriors, as was the previous limited editions, and with Sino Naval Architecture and Design responsible for the interiors. It's incredibly cool. It's sort of white hull, grey superstructure, and it's got that same kind of very commanding limited editions
presence.
Yeah. Absolutely. Her large stern platform is a focal point of the design, according to Espen, with its beach club, which opens up on three sides to create a semi-enclosed waterfront lounge and is illuminated by the 6.5 meter deck pool above. That'll be a really, really good one to see for sure.
Absolutely. And I think there's a few Amels that are going as well. We might cover a few of the others in this podcast. But certainly excited to see that one. Next up, I'm actually talking about another turquoise yacht, this time a 76.3 meter called N2H, which was developed to supposedly push boundaries, as all yachts are, as the first hybrid superyacht from the Turkish shipyard. So her sporty exterior is by Enrico Gobi, and it actually has 13 balconies, which is quite incredible. And it's complemented by a H2 yacht design interior, which benefits from headrooms of up to 2.65 meters, which doesn't sound all that much, but when you actually think about
it,
that is quite impressive. And one of the things not to miss if you're at the show is the full beam owner's suite, which is divided into two by a central dressing area. And then there's also the upper deck dining area with its large curved glass doors overlooking the stern. So I'm certainly hoping to get on board, well, both the turquoise yachts. In fact, all of the yachts mentioned so far. But this next one, I am also quite excited about. Again, quite cool one for the charter market.
Yeah, this has had a lot of you would have seen this, the Allo rebrand and the takeover of Silver Fox, which happened over the summer. And it was, as far as I'm aware, a huge success in terms of social media platform and how Allo, the yoga brand, the yoga clothing brand, decided to do that. It was extremely interesting. Whether she will be at Monaco Yacht Show under that guise, I am not sure. I imagine she will be there as Silver Fox, but an incredibly good looking boat. She is the first Hull & San Lorenzo's flagship 74 steel series. She pairs diesel electric propulsion with a wellness focused design, so very good for Allo, that uses space savings to create expansive spa and beach club facilities. Mm. She was designed by Zucon International Project with interiors by Francesco Pazowski Design in collaboration with Margherita Casparini.
Always a mouthful.
Always a mouthful. She offers a private owner's deck, a sports court, and one of the most comprehensive wellness programs in her size range. So yeah, that was actually, well, I mean, we'll speak about her in a little bit more detail later, and then we will fly through the rest of who will be there.
Yep, the next one is quite an interesting one. It's the 71.5 meter FedShip Vanish, very fittingly named. It's actually been around since 2021 when it was delivered. But as the name would suggest, she kind of vanished for 5 years. And she did. She has been cruising we've not had a first look inside her until this point. Where we actually covered her, I think she was our cover boat last month. So we've got a very nice yacht report should you want to go read it. But for now, the kind of key takeaways are, you know, it's a full custom fed ship. It's an evolution of the owner's previous Vanish, which retains Harrison Eidsgaard's gentleman's yacht styling. But it kind of introduces this sharper surfacing, this striking black signature mast, and a dramatic three-deck glass atrium staircase. Now, that was a mouthful. She was built for a very active family, and she pairs, unusually, a practical, owner-focused planning with these standout leisure features, including dual touch-and-go helipads, a wellness beach club, and, most importantly, a dedicated ping-pong bay. Wow. Which I would like to say, if I had a yacht, I feel like a lot of people would say that's quite a boring feature, but a ping pong table, and I'm not even very good, but I just think that's such a great, everybody loves a game of ping pong. You know, you don't have to be sporty or athletic. It's just a fun one. You can turn it into a beer pong table if you really want, you know? Perhaps that's, I'm targeting the wrong crowd on this podcast.
I'm having that on my boat.
Okay, well,
I have put another bar there, I think.
Yeah, okay. Georgia would go for the bar. I'd go for the beer pong table. Perfect.
Next we have Project Thunderball, which is the 70 meter CRN and a full custom collaboration between Repac and Nauta. Project Thunderball was conceived for sailing enthusiasts, for a sailing enthusiast who wanted a highly capable explorer with graceful sailing yacht inspired lines rather than a floating palace. Her owner focus brief extends to an energy efficient technical platform, seamless indoor outdoor living, and extensive water sports capabilities, including space for 2 9-meter tenders and a large collection of toys. A really great looking boat, actually, just really classic and beautiful. We haven't really seen something like that in a while. So
no.
It's nice to see that kind of styling coming back a little bit.
And she's actually not yet delivered. She was launched in June. So we're just kind of waiting now to see. Obviously, with her being at the Monaco Yacht Show, we're expecting delivery soon. So we'll be keeping an eye there on our news coverage. But I know that the boat's research director, Raph, he's been complimenting this yacht a lot and saying it's really beautiful, and he's very excited to see it. So you know that if it's on his hit list for the show, it's going to be a good one. I think we should maybe leave the largest attendees there for now, because we can leave the listeners to go and read all about the rest of the yachts that are attending. And we will be obviously updating that as the summer goes on, as yachts pull out and more yachts attend. But for now, those are some of the ones that we're, you know, excited to hopefully get on board and do a bit more coverage around. So what we should also mention on the theme of Monaco Yacht Show is the Boat Live Lounge and Boat Radio.
Yes.
Because this is a big new initiative for us this year. It's these two exciting new activations at the Monaco Yacht Show. So we have developed these in partnership with Monaco Yacht Show. And they've been designed as this premium, yet hopefully very welcoming hub, where owners, industry leaders, and visitors can meet, relax, and engage throughout the four-day show. It's located at the heart of the event, and the lounge itself will host a very dynamic program of editorial discussions, which I can vouch for because I am currently putting together the list of who we're going to host in that Boat Radio Lounge. So it will, you know, really offer visitors a place to connect with the global yachting community. You can also go and take a break from the busy show schedule. And, you know, for you, what I can really promise to deliver is a nice, cool aircon space. So you can go in there and cool down. Meanwhile, I, along with my colleagues, will be up there hosting these live radio sessions, sweating under the spotlight. So whilst all of you cool off in the aircon, I'm sure I will be sweating it out. But it will be a lovely, lovely space. And we're very excited. The live podcasts will be beamed out across the show. You can come in and watch the live sessions as they're being recorded. So we'll have this live audience. And then if you want to kind of catch up on the content that you might have missed, you'll be able to find the podcast or radio episodes on our website, as well as the Monaco Yacht Show website. So stay tuned for lots of exciting discussions with owners, designers, shipyards, brokers, all the industry experts that you would expect in Monaco itself. So we will be exploring lots of exciting stories and trends.
Absolutely. So are you ready for the big deliveries of the year?
Am I? Well, we've actually not done of the year. We've gone for the summer. Because,
oh my God, there's that many.
Look, I started by doing it for, you know, big deliveries of this year. And then I thought, you know what, we'll be here all day. So we're inevitably going to have missed off a few shipyards and design studios. And all I can do is apologize. It's been quite hard to whistle it down to the key shipyards. But from Lursen, we've had quite a few deliveries. Do you want to kick us off with the first?
Nixie, obviously the wonderful boat that will be attending the Monaco Yacht Show. This was delivered in June, I believe, and an absolute behemoth of a new build. She was launched earlier this year in February from the shipyard's facilities in Rendsburg, marking the first time that she has been seen since her technical launch in December 2023. Following her launch, she was sighted in May by yacht spotters, heading out to the Baltic Sea to begin her sea trials, but little has been seen of her since. According to BoatPro, she is already embarking on her maiden voyage with her first stop in Gibraltar. She will now be available for charter with Edmiston, as or mentioned, for 2.4 million a week, euros a week. She will be making her global debut then in Monaco. A full displacement steel and aluminium motor yacht, and she has what has been described as a fluid and organic exterior, in inverted commas, which it is. It's really genuinely really beautiful. And it's very, she's very kind of contemporary in terms of her styling. It's all very fluid and lovely, as the inverted commas would suggest. But it's a really incredibly balanced. Any naval architects looking at that boat will be, it will just scratch an itch. It is really beautiful and really well proportioned. And for the size of the boat, she's got this incredible kind of low center of gravity, which is, it just looks really beautiful. So an amazing delivery from Lursen. Mm. And the kind of styling that, yeah, it's just amazing to see.
Absolutely. Really. I mean, Lursens are always just have that kind of grand, impressive design. Yeah. She's actually not the only yacht, not the only Lursen yacht that was delivered in June. So earlier in the month, there was also the 109-meter Superyacht 03, which was previously known as Project Shackleton. And she was actually originally sold in March 2018. So it's been ongoing for quite a few years. And it was then known as Project Ice Cap. But then she was actually reported to have been sold again during construction in 2022. So then following the second sale, she was actually extended in length for several exterior design modifications, including the addition of a large helideck. So it's been a very secretive project. And as I said, under construction since 2018, she was actually last photographed prior to our most recent news story on sea trials at the end of January. And she has this grey axe-style bow and a white superstructure that sits well forward. It was actually originally from the drawing boards of a Norwegian studio called Salt Ship Design. But then she was transported to one of Lursen's floating dry docks in Hamburg, where the additional modifications and outfitting were completed. So her new designers are actually yet to be confirmed, though Espen Oinjo and Christina Gerardi Design are rumoured to have been on the team. So we're yet to find out, but another one that we're very excited to see in the flesh. And then we should also probably mention, it was actually in May, but I'm classing that as summer too. There was also the 140-meter Lursen. Now, we've been deliberating on how we say this, whether it's Nausicaa or Nausicaa. So if somebody could write in and tell us, then that would be great. But that is a very unusual looking yacht. It was commissioned for a Japanese owner. She's got a very unusual explorer style profile.
Do you know what it reminds me of?
Go on.
And I'm really sorry for saying this. You know when you go skiing and when you get the chairlifts, like the home, yes, of the chairlifts, it looks like the thing, the bay that the chairlifts go into in Courchevel.
Well, I'm not sure how Australian industrial designer Mark Newson will feel about that, but I'm sure.
So sorry. It's really cool.
I actually think that Mark Newson might not be listening to this podcast. If you are, Mark, let us know.
Or maybe a whale, actually.
Okay, so your beautifully designed yacht either resembles a ski lift or
the, a whale. The mouth of the whale. I will stand by that. Maybe they stand less by the ski lift, so I think that might get me in some trouble.
Niche.
But I think the blue whale, I think the mouth of the blue whale, I think I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's got...
It's quite
for,
cool.
For listeners that haven't seen a picture of her, you'll have to go and check her out. But what makes her most recognisable is her profile, because it's, you know, characterised by these curves, the rounded edges.
It's cool. It's really cool.
And it's free from flat surfaces. So, yeah.
Except for the helipad. That's pretty flat.
Well, yeah. I mean, you'd hope that would be pretty flat. It could be a pretty bumpy takeoff otherwise, or landing.
Yeah, I'm just trying to look what it really reminds me of something. But
she's also got that glass sky dome at the top of her profile.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Which apparently is a 50 square meter private owner's study, which is connected to a terrace. So, yeah, I'd be very interested to see how the owner uses this yacht and where it goes. There's a few interesting details in the news piece. Apparently, Lursen developed a custom solution to hot bend 7 panes of thick glass provide that 360 degree view. So
double curvature there.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Very impressive.
Wow.
So we'll look forward to seeing that. Georgia has also just pointed out that the new boardwalk was also delivered in May, which is taking over from, I think it's the 76.5-meter Fedship boardwalk.
Yes.
Wow, that came from the top of my head. I'm
very
impressed
impressive.
I remembered that length by heart. But yeah, so there was also, you know, it's a lot of movement going on at Lursen. But the other yards are also busy. Ocean Co.
Yeah.
The, I think it's 92.8-meter Drac. Was redelivered. So that was actually transformed into a new companion yacht for Leviathan, which is the 111-meter Ocean Co., which was delivered to American video game developer Gabe Newell. I'm sorry, he's also the new owner of Ocean Co. So Ocean Go has been pretty busy.
FedShip's also been pretty busy with the sale of Moonrise, the 100-meter FedShip that was sold for a last known, well, the last known asking price was 325 million euros. And she was originally built for the WhatsApp co-founder, Jan Koum, and she has now made her way for her 101-meter successor, also called Moonrise.
Yeah, lots of...
Yeah, and then there's also the highly secretive yacht, the 101.2-meter Destiny that was delivered, and the 80-meter superyacht Project 826, also known as Project Thalassa, has moved to the final stages of construction, including sea trials. She takes design cues from high-performance sailing yachts characterized by a sharp plumb bow, widening hull, gently curved windows, and a scoot. That sentence ends there, I think. It's got slender lines too, by Malcolm McKeon.
Yeah, which is quite unusual, actually, to have a FedShip designed by a sailing yacht designer.
Yeah, really so cool. It's a bit really different. Really cool. Yeah.
Over at the Italian Sea Group, they've been busy. So Admiral has announced the delivery of the first unit from its Panorama 50 model, which has been christened Spribe. Over in the Netherlands, Vitters have been busy. It's one I think we're all quite excited about. Project Zero has been launched now. So the 68.9-meter first fossil fuel-free sailing yacht officially hit the water in the Netherlands, and she's now embarking on extensive sea trials, which is when her systems will be tested and the initial data gathered. The update actually came only days after the groundbreaking yacht was rolled out of the yard's construction hall, and that actually marked the first time she'd been seen since her move to outfitting in 2024. So it feels like all these updates have been brewing for a couple of years. Mm. And yeah, everything's all systems go. So we'll be keeping an eye and seeing when her delivery takes place. Do you want to talk us through movement at Ferretti?
Yes. So Riva has shared new details and the first look inside its first Riva 54 Metri Sairu. shut up, Holly. Sairu? What is it?
I actually don't know, and I deliberately...
Sairu. You gave me that one.
I was going to give you that one.
Sairu. Yeah. I really think that might be right. If not, I apologize. Sairu, following her delivery. Italian shipyard CRN has also launched its latest full custom superyacht, the 70-meter Project Thunderbore. And then we should probably just move on to Damen straight away. Damen has announced the delivery of the third unit from its Amels 80 series, the first of which we spoke about earlier, previously known as Project Zurich and now christened
Germaine.
I think we didn't
mention that earlier. So I think Germaine is the third unit. She joins Netto 2 and Pangea,
which
we talked about earlier.
With the correct pronunciation.
With the correct
absolutely.
Pronunciation. So lots going on at all the different yards.
Holly, I think that's Germany, not Germaine.
No.
I think it's Germany with a few letters in the wrong way.
No, it's not. George is now Germany. Questioning.
I'm now questioning every single yacht name because I feel like it's actually a name. Yeah, I think
was. All I've got to say is that we need to drill into the pronunciation of these yachts before we get to the show, is because I just know that I can feel another Bridget Jones blonde moment.
How to pronounce French is a channel where we help you sound like a native speaker. One word at a time. I'm Mark, and in this video, we will dive into proper French pronunciation technique. So let's get started. Today's name is an old world charm. It's Germaine. In French,
Germaine. Pardon.
So Germaine. If you didn't get that, George is going to redo it one more time for you. She's just been YouTubing how to pronounce the yacht name. So go on, Georgia, give it to us in your best accent. Okay.
So, Dutch shipyard Damen. No, I'm joking. Dutch shipyard Damen Yachting has announced the delivery of the third unit from its Amels 80 series, previously known as Project Zurich, and now christened Germaine. She joins Netto 2, the second Amels 80, which was delivered in June, the month before.
Did we really have to go through that paragraph again?
Oui, madame.
Ah, I can't remember how to say it. Je suis désolée. Wow, the GCSE French is coming in handy. Okay, so we've also had some pretty big biz news this week, which came from the Italian Sea Group. So the Italian Sea Group actually announced that its chairman and chief executive officer, Giovanni Constantino, has resigned from his position as a director of the company with immediate effect. And then his son, board member Gian Maria Constantino, who was a non-executive director, has also resigned. So according to the company, the resignations trigger the dissolution of the entire board of directors under Italian corporate law, as the majority of directors appointed by shareholders are no longer in office. According to a statement by the Yard, the board will continue to operate on an interim basis to ensure continuity and oversee the ongoing restructuring process until a new board is appointed. So an interim board meeting will be convened as soon as possible to call a shareholders meeting for the appointment of a new board of directors. They also said in the statement that the company believed they'd done everything possible to address the crisis and bring the company to its current stage in the restructuring process. And they had determined that the continuation of this process can now be facilitated by a change in governance, which it said was to be expected to strengthen stakeholder confidence, ensure continuity, and support the best possible outcome for creditors. So pretty big news, which actually came in quite late last night. So they love to keep us on our toes. But yeah, there's been a lot of business news going on at the Italian Sea Group. So it'll be interesting to see how all of this pans out over the coming months.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And hopefully a little bit of stability going forward for the boat shows and beyond.
And it's super yacht sporting season, apparently.
Yeah, you get to end with the fun news at the end, don't you?
Yeah.
See how this is.
So we like to see what boats people are spotting this season in the Mediterranean. And obviously, it's a really interesting thing. I mean, we're all addicted to it every time we travel to try and take photos of yachts that we see in interesting places. So it's also a call to action. So if you do see a yacht this summer, please do send it in to our news email, which is news@boatinternationalmedia.com, because we update the gallery throughout the Mediterranean season, and credit to the photographers, of course. And there's been a lot around. So we've seen Queen Mary, which was spotted along Menorca's rugged northern coast on the 8th of July. And that's always a very interesting one to see. We've seen Althea.
Chaos.
Yeah.
That was a good one. We've seen This Is It. That was actually me that spotted that in Mykonos. It's actually a terrible photo.
It's a terrible photo. Yeah, that is embarrassing. I think we should take that down. It's one of the worst photos I've ever seen.
Well, I'm sorry, but
half of the photo is telegraph wires.
You know what? I'm not even going to take that abuse. My phone wouldn't zoom in anymore. And when I started to zoom in further, it became more pixelated. So what you've got is a blob in the sea.
Yes.
And you know what? I'm quite proud of it. And
which, according to Holly, is This Is It. And because she is
a yacht spotter,
she's allowed to, and in charge of this website, she's allowed to put whatever she likes in there.
The whole team did say to me, why the hell are you putting that one in? And I said, ladies and gents, we're keeping that one in.
I need
to have my name on one of the photos.
And let's have a look at who took the, Holly took the next photo as well. It's Galma. By Holly on the 12th of June in Antiparos.
Look, I told you, Georgia, we're the global authority on sea yachting, and I'm just trying to boost my personal authority.
The next one is you as well, Lady Lucy.
So basically, this is a massive call to action because my rubbish camera on my phone cannot take a good photo. So I am relying on you, trusty listener and trusty readers, to send in some actually decent yacht-spotted photos.
Please, embarrassing.
I'll write the blurb, I'll do the heavy lifting. All you got to do is just snap that little pic, send us the date, send us the location.
Yeah.
And then it's your chance to get featured on Boat International. There's no higher honor than that. You could be featured alongside my photo of This Is It, my blob in the sea. So
you could.
Come on. You wouldn't.
You could, indeed. Please do send them in so we can generate a proper article.
Right, well, that's just rude. We're going to actually have to wrap up this podcast now because Georgia and I are about to fall out. You know what? We started on quite a nice note about your engagement. And I'm feeling like we've actually...
To a photographer, actually. Maybe I should get him on the case.
Yes, that's true. Maybe we could get him to do the spotted pictures going forward. Or maybe I just need some lessons on how to take a decent picture. But anyway, we will leave you there because there's been a lot of news packed into that episode and lots of data, lots of numbers, which I'm sure that we've just read a few prices and yacht lengths out wrong, which always gives me crippling anxiety when I listen back to this because I think, oh my God.
No, they're all right.
Yeah, well, George is once again telling me that we are efficient businesswomen that are, yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, listeners. We will catch you again next week. Bye for now. And that's all for this episode of Boat Briefing. If you'd like to read more about any of the stories we've discussed today, including the largest yachts attending the Monaco Yacht Show, this summer's biggest deliveries, and our exclusive features, you'll find links in the show notes below. And if you're heading to Monaco, be sure to come and say hello. We'll be bringing you live interviews, expert discussions, and daily coverage from the Boat Live Lounge and Boat Radio throughout the show. As always, if you've enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe to Boat Briefing wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a rating or review, hopefully a good one. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.